It is Tuesday, which means It Is Heard Online, a series of episodes where we take a critical look at claims made on the World Wide Web when it comes to sleep, and we take a look at whether these claims have some footing in reality or not. Most of the time, it's actually not, spoiler alert there. But anyways, today we're going to look at a study or an article rather something like it's actually an abstract. It's not actually full, like it's not a published study. It's an abstract, and we're going to look at a report of this abstract. It was submitted by somebody named Christelle. So Christelle, thank you. Anyway, so let's just jump in here and look at the title. So Christelle had found this online. It is published in HCP Live, which I think is something like for healthcare providers to stay, updated on, what happens in research, something like that, I think is the purpose of this website. Anyways, the title here is Suboptimal Sleep Linked to Greater Likelihood of Heart Disease. And in terms of the triggerometer, how triggering is this headline? I would say it's actually fairly objective. Like, it talks about a link and greater likelihood. And so I think the title is fairly objective, but it's still kind of triggering. Let's give it a 2 on the triggerometer. It's recent. It's from August 26, 2022. And this is the lead scientist who did the abstract that this talks about. An abstract, by the way, if you don't know what that is, not familiar with the term, it is like when you have a kind of preliminary results that you present in a poster form or an oral presentation at some kind of conference. And typically, you will later on like publish that as a complete study, something like that. But anyway, this is an abstract, so this is not actually a published study. But what we find here, this website reports the following: the risk of coronary heart disease and stroke decreased by 22% for every 1 point rise in the sleep score at baseline. And when you read this, it sounds kind of like, wow, that seems huge, 22% decrease in risk for just 1 point rise. So if we just sleep a little bit better, decreases this risk by 22%. That sounds it actually sounds like, you immediately get the sense that, can they really back this claim up? Let's keep reading. New findings suggest suboptimal sleep was associated with a higher likelihood of heart disease and stroke, with a higher healthy sleep score linked to lower risk. So now that we kind of like, when we, as we keep reading, I think it's very helpful to take note of the fact that the word linked is used. Linked is often used or associated or, what's this, another word too. But anyway, when two things are linked, it doesn't mean that one is causing the other. For example, my favorite analogy is that ashtrays, having ashtrays at home, is very much linked to having COPD or other lung problems. In fact, there is even a dose-dependent association between the two. Like the more ashtrays you have, the higher the likelihood of lung problems. Now, when you see that, you may think, oh, okay, that's the problem. I got to get rid of all my ashtrays. But in reality, ashtrays do not cause any lung problems. It is rather smoking that does. And we see this so often when it comes to studies like this one, that there's a link between like short sleep or long sleep and something. But of course, it's not that causes the something. There's other things in between. And we'll, I think we're very much seeing this here too. So anyway, let's keep reading. Data suggests 9 in 10 patients do not get a good night's sleep. And that is like, wow, okay, what are they talking about here? 9 patients? Or have they done some type of study in people that are hospitalized? And 9 in 10 do not get a good night's sleep? That sounds like a very high number. On the flip side, like who sleeps well when they're in a hospital? So really unsure what they mean here, what they talk about there. But anyway, data suggests 9 in 10 patients do not get a good night's sleep. Okay. With investigators estimating that 7 in 10 of these cardiovascular conditions could be prevented with proper sleep. And first of all, it's like, what are they talking about? What are these cardiovascular conditions? Well, I guess they're referring back to heart disease and stroke, okay? So they're saying that 7 to 10, I don't know exactly what they mean, of these cardiovascular conditions. So are they saying that out of 10 people who have had a stroke or or have some type of heart disease, in 10 of these people, 7 of them wouldn't have it if they were just sleeping better. That sounds like completely outlandish. That sounds like completely like, I don't know what to say. How, you know, that is an extremely, extremely strong, you know, statement. And you wonder again, like, how do they back that up? Like, how do they back that up? Okay, so let's keep reading. Our study illustrates the potential for sleeping well to preserve heart health. And already, like, the language is completely different. Here it says, illustrates the potential. And, like, it's a complete, like, 180 from this could be prevented with proper sleep. So already it's, like, super confusing. All right, our illustrated the potential for sleeping well to preserve heart health and suggests, again, this kind of, like, soft wording, like, maybe, maybe not. It suggests that perhaps suggests. So again, like, very confusing, very contradictory. Suggests that improving sleep is linked with lower risk of coronary heart disease and stroke, said lead study author Abubakari Nambiema, PhD, MPH in CIRM. I don't know what this title is, but anyways. We also found that the vast majority of people have sleep difficulties. Given that cardiovascular disease is the top cause of death worldwide, greater awareness is needed on the importance of good sleep for maintaining a healthy heart. It's one of those, like, I don't know, to laugh or cry here. Okay, you say that, okay, cardiovascular disease is a top cause of death worldwide, okay? That's one claim you make. And then you also make the claim that the vast majority of people in the world have difficulty sleeping, okay? So naturally then, you jump to the conclusion that if all people just slept well, then all the top reason that we have death in the world would also disappear. I think you just, that claim is just so enormous. So let's see what the data they have. Okay, the data was presented at the European Society of Cardiology in Barcelona very recently, I guess, 2022. Here they say, most studies investigating the association between sleep habits and cardiovascular disease have focused on a single dimension, such as sleep duration and sleep apnea, and often measure sleep at baseline only. So, you know, I think this is true that when you most studies in this area, they look at, like, okay, is there a link between how much we sleep and heart problems, right? And I think the thing is that there's no smoking gun. There's been many, many, many studies, and they haven't found anything. In fact, the only association that seems pretty robust and comes up again and again is people who estimate sleeping more than 8 hours. Particularly people who estimate sleeping like 9 or 10 hours, they do have a higher association of cardiovascular disease. And you don't see that link at all as strong for people who report sleeping like 5 hours or less than 6 hours. This is conveniently overlooked. And I want to point out that I believe very much that it doesn't mean that people who sleep 9 or 10 hours or estimate sleeping that much, you know, that sleeping a lot causes them to have health problems. Rather, it is when we have health issues, we can become tired and we sleep a lot, or we can have trouble sleeping. So health issues can, of course, impact our sleep. Not surprising at all anyway. But my point here is that, yes, these single dimensions such as sleep duration, sleep apnea, that have been studied and nothing has been found. So what are people going to do? Well, they have to figure out some composite factor, like, you know, you combine a lot of things and create this number, and maybe this number now will show something new. Like, I think that's where things are going. So anyway, Nambiema and colleagues examined the association between the baseline sleep score and changes over time in the sleep score and incident cardiovascular disease. So now they can create their own score, which you can, of course, play around with and see what you find. This study included 7,200 participants from the observational community-based prospective Paris prospective study 3. Investigators recruited men and women aged 50 to 75 that didn't have any cardiovascular disease between 2008 and 2011. Okay, so they recruited over three years. Each had undergone a standard physical exam and standard biological test, and were required to provide information on lifestyle, personal, family, medical history, medications, etc. The sleep habits of participants were self-reported, so that's pretty much always the case, I just say, when it comes to studies, it's self-reported, which automatically puts in some question, like, the validity, because we are notoriously not very accurate when it comes to actually estimating how much we sleep. So that, keep in mind that. So this is self-reported questionnaires at baseline and two follow-up visits. The sleep dimensions were assigned a single point if optimal and 0 point otherwise, okay? So investigators computed a health sleep score ranging from 0 to 5 and reflected the number of optimal sleep dimensions, okay? So I guess they have 5 dimensions and the top score can be 5. The dimensions included were early chronotype. So chronotype is basically if you are if you prefer being kind of, if you're a night owl or an early bird, right? And I guess they have just decided that the ideal chronotype is, I guess, an early chronotype. That's ideal. So that gives you 1. And if you're late, it's late owl, that gives you 0, I guess. Sleep duration of 7 to 8 hours per day, that was like ideal. Okay, I guess anything out of that gave you 0. Never or rarely insomnia, no sleep apnea, and no frequent excessive daytime sleepiness. So all these were kind of like, I think, either you're like perfect or you were terrible. I guess that's what they did. Additionally, investigators checked for incident coronary disease and stroke every 2 years for a total of 10 years. So they had a pretty long study anyway, which is generally helpful. At baseline, the study included 7,203 participants, 62% of women, who were considered free of CVD and had a complete data on sleep habits. Data shows 10% of participants had optimal sleep score and 8% had a poor sleep score, 0.1. And you can see like this score again is like, to me, it's like, how do you decide that it's like perfect to be an early bird and terrible to be a night owl, right? And it's very much like the score is sort of like very, very random, I think. Anyways, over a median follow-up of 8 years, 274 participants developed coronary heart disease or stroke. Investigators analyzed the association between sleep scores and cardiovascular events, adjusting for a bunch of things. And they determined that the risk of coronary heart disease and stroke decreased 22% per every 1 point rise in the sleep score at baseline. Okay, the data additionally suggests participants with a score of 5 had a 75% lower risk of heart disease or stroke when compared to those with a score of 0 or 1. So they're basically saying that if you start like having insomnia and you start having sleep apnea and you start becoming sleepy during the day, well, then this means that your sleep is no good and this is going to lead you to have heart problems. Instead of saying, okay, if you're starting to have health problems, that can give you trouble sleeping, aka insomnia. You may have gained weight and you get sleep apnea. You may have become like, you know, due to your deterioration in health, you are becoming more sleepy. You have more sleepiness and you're also estimating sleeping more. And maybe, you know, something changes to your chronotype as well. Anyway, my point here is that health deterioration could easily explain how your score becomes higher, right? Easily. But of course, that's not very appetizing. That, I mean, if we're just saying like, if you have poor health, you tend to, you know, not sleep so well. I mean, that doesn't, like, who would that surprise? What kind of attention would that give? But instead they're saying like the opposite, that, okay, it's the change in sleep score is actually what causes these, you know, that cardiovascular health problems, or at least that's what they're implying here. So they're saying that with healthier sleep and optimal sleep score, investigators determined that 72% of new cases of coronary heart disease and stroke might be avoided each year. It's honestly, I think it's completely ridiculous. And this is terrible. To me, the intent here is just, it must be alarmist. It must be like to get attention here because you can so easily explain this in another way, right? Then over 2 follow-ups, data suggests 48% of participants were able to change their sleep score, 25% decreased and 23% improved. Regarding the association between the change in score, they found a 1 point increment over time. So with 7% reduction in the risk of health score. And again, like, yeah, how did they change their sleep score? And how could they determine that then led to some positive outcome? Isn't it more reasonable to see that their health improved? And then, you know, sleep followed, right? But again, that wouldn't get anybody's attention. The low prevalence of good sleepers was expected given our busy 24/7 lives, maybe. The importance of sleep quality and quantity for heart health should be taught early in life when healthy behaviors become established. I mean, this is like a recipe for so much struggle. Imagine if we had like in grade school, they were teaching you like, it's really important that you sleep well, otherwise you're going to get heart problems. where is that going to lead us, right? Minimizing nighttime noises and stress at work can both help improve sleep. So is that like, that sounds like that is like the big reveal here. The big reveal here is that if you minimize noises at night and you minimize stress at work, well, then you're not going to have any strokes or any heart disease. That's the big idea here. The big idea is to minimize nighttime noise and minimize stress at work. The end. I don't know what to say. It's again one of those times where like it's just so sad. It's just really sad that this is what gets attention, and there's, you know, there's nothing there. There's nothing there. But anyway, we keep plugging along here, trying to look at things critically and hopefully offer some clarity and reassurance for anyone on the planet that has had trouble sleeping, particularly someone who's had trouble sleeping because they were worried about health impacts of that. So I hope this was really helpful to you and meaningful to you, and we'll end there. Any comments are super welcome, and you know, of course, that if you would like some more help and support on your path, and if you like, you know, the way we approach things here on in Sleep Coach School, then of course visit our website, find ways you can connect with us, and we shall go from there. If you decide to join, we look forward to seeing you on the inside. That said, thanks for tuning in to Heard Online, and I look forward to having you back real soon. Bye for now.